I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo,
a gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in to The Memo on this Wednesday, February the 17th, 2016. Brad Locke here with you. W. Derek Russell also here with you.
And Chris, I'm Brad Locke.
No, you're not. Chris Kiefer over there, the producer, the random voice you'll hear sometimes during the show.
Hello.
I thought that was God.
What? No. Producer God, same thing, I guess.
Maybe not.
Pretty close.
A little lowercase G.
Yeah, okay. You're a lesser God, Chris.
Maybe not.
Yeah, so anyway. How's everybody doing?
It's Lent. I'm not going there.
What?
I said it's Lent. I'm not going there.
Oh, yeah. It is Lent. Giving anything up for Lent, guys? I haven't done that yet. Of course, I'm not Catholic. You don't have to be Catholic.
Tim Cook and Apple are giving up helping the FBI for Lent.
Apparently.
That's all I got. That's the jokes today, folks.
Don't help the feds.
I'm looking at the mustache, but I have no jokes about the mustache either. Who gave something up for Lent?
I don't know. I didn't yet.
You?
Yeah, I gave stuff up for Lent.
What'd you give up?
Gotta give stuff up for Lent.
Okay.
What'd you give up?
What'd you do?
Not supposed to tell, right?
I don't think it's like a birthday candle.
I don't think it's
ever. If I do it, it won't come true.
Isn't that like bragging, though?
A
little bit.
Not if we ask you.
Not amongst friends.
We're all friends here.
I'll tell you off air.
Okay.
Okay.
I hope it's not pants.
So you got,
nope, you're good. I was just checking.
You got pants on.
Bradley, how are you doing today?
Fine, Derek. I'm fine. Running behind. Overslept again. I did that a lot.
How late did you oversleep today?
Only by like 45 minutes.
Let's do your peer review.
So, because I didn't get much sleep the night before last.
Why?
So naturally, I don't go to bed till 12:15 last night.
Why?
Because that makes sense. Then I try to get up at 5:45 as usual, and I hit my two alarms. And
you're giving me more excuses, but no reasons. I want to know why.
I'm not up till 6:30 because I hate mornings.
Mm-hmm. All right, Garfield.
It's really hard. Literally, it is painful for me to wake up.
Yeah,
it hurts my eyeballs.
Yeah.
And I try to keep my eyelids open, and it's painful.
Okay.
So you're in the perfect job.
Yeah, really.
So aren't you going to sleep earlier?
Because I'm a night owl. I can't. I've tried it. It doesn't work.
Perfect storm.
Plus, I was at the gym till like 10-something, so I'm like all amped up from that, so I can't go to sleep.
There's your problem.
That's the only time I can go.
Go to sleep earlier.
I can't go to the gym in the mornings. I got to start working as soon as I roll out of bed.
But go to sleep earlier and go to the gym even earlier in the morning before you start working.
That means I have to get up at like 4:30.
That's what those CrossFit people do.
My workouts take a good hour.
Okay? That's what the CrossFit people
I got to get kids off to school. Got to take kids. I have to take the kids to school most days because, you know, we have this baby at home. The wife has
that's a first world problem.
Take care of her. I know.
It's a third world problem, too. But
I just don't
second
have
second world, too, I'd imagine.
You
never hear anything about
there.
The second world. What is the deal with the second world? Mm. Is that people that are
I
there?
I think that's Mississippi. I think we're the second
child.
World.
Are we second world? Oh, middle. I'm a middle child.
Yeah.
How do we get to
second
middle
world
children?
Might be Louisiana.
Second world's kind of like middle child.
Yeah.
Yeah, nobody
talks
about
it. Nobody.
They get ignored.
It's the Swiss.
People give all the attention to the oldest and the youngest.
Kind of like being the producer.
But they don't give any attention to the middle child.
I gave you attention.
The middle child just grows up being socially awkward and
hosts a podcast.
Are you a middle child?
Yes.
Oh, and now we get to the root of your deep-seated problems. That explains the facial hair.
How do you feel about that, Brad?
Yes. Tell us about your mother.
My parents are great. I was always the quiet one, though.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What do you got on either side of you?
Two sisters.
Oh.
Two outgoing sisters.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, you're not exactly an introvert over here.
Nah, well, on the radio, when there's a microphone and nobody to look at me besides you two, then I'm fine talking. Get me
We don't want to look at
Me a social. Get me in a social situation.
Mm-hmm.
Something that requires small talk. And I'm like,
do
I don't want to be here.
What is it? Don't ever do that again.
That's me trying to talk to someone.
So is this why you feel the need to grow out a mustache, Brad?
Mm-hmm. You need to stand out, express yourself.
I guess so, Derek.
What are your sister's names?
On today's episode.
Therapy. For Bradlock.
Therapy for Bradlock and all you middle children.
What are your sister's names?
Joy and Rachel. Rachel, the younger one, is in the Air Force.
Your sister's name is also your wife's name.
Yeah, that was awkward for a while before she got married.
They are different people, though,
yeah,
right?
Two, Rachel Locke. Thank you, Chris. Yes.
You did spend some time.
I know this is Mississippi, but.
So you did spend some time in Missouri, so we have to ask.
No, yeah, because before she got married, we had two Rachel Locks in the family. So. Mm-hmm. Anyway,
What's her last name now?
Nagel. She's in the Air Force. She's taken two tours over to Iraq and Afghanistan. Iraq and Kuwait, not Afghanistan. Driving those big convoy trucks. So she's got like a nice collection of guns. She drives a Harley. She's basically badder than I am.
That's fine. I'm adding her as a friend right now. So.
Who's this weirdo adding me as a friend?
No, she'll see we have one mutual friend, and that's Brad Locke.
Yeah. So anyway.
Well, she's like family.
She used to beat me up when we were younger.
She looks like she could, Brad.
Yeah, she still could today. So, and my older sister, Joy, is a system administrator. I'm not even sure of her current job. It's something to do with computers.
Well, it's good to see you have two loving sisters.
They're cool people.
They beat you up, though.
Especially Rachel. Joy was more of a pacifist.
Yeah.
Well, I kind of am, too, but, you know. You have a younger sister that gets on your nerves.
You're sort of a nihilist.
You're going to get in some fights. I'm not a nihilist. I'm a cynic. I don't know about a nihilist.
You can be cynical and be a nihilist.
Well, no. I mean, they would kind of go hand in hand, yeah. Right? But I would say I'm a cynic. I'm not sure I'm to the point of being a nihilist.
I think you're a nihilist.
Depends.
I would label you as such.
I'm a realist. Some would say pessimist. I call it realism.
I think it's pessimism.
Yeah, probably so.
How full is that coffee right there?
About halfway.
Empty?
Half empty, I guess.
That's what I'm asking. Okay. I just want to make sure we're all firing on all cylinders.
If it was empty and then I filled it up halfway, then it would be half full. But since it was full and now I'm drinking it, it's half empty.
It's perception. It's all in how you look at it. Well, we've got a special guest joining us today, pre-recorded, but Chris interviewed Chris Traylor, the president of the Lee County chapter of the NAACP. In the studio earlier today. So we've got that coming up for you, as well as William Moore joining us, and of course, Jenna Parsons. It's Wednesday.
Food day.
Talking about food.
William's going to talk about the sinkhole.
It's a recurring problem.
Sinkholes are fun.
Yeah.
Unless you fall in it.
Standing over one. That's never a good thing. I haven't seen this one.
I haven't either, and I've been out to Robbins Field before, but I've never... Well,
for it to be recurring.
I have seen like a small... I've been out there before, and I... Maybe it was just a culvert, but I thought I saw like a small little dip in the grass. Maybe that was it. This has been a few months ago. Hmm. I don't know. We'll ask William about it.
We'll find out more on this episode of The Memo. But first, Chris Kiefer talking to Chris Traylor today.
Okay, now we're joined by a special guest, Chris Traylor, who's the president of the Lee County chapter of the NAACP, and he's also the chairman of the Tupelo Outreach Community Task Force. Chris, it's great to have you on the show. How are you doing today?
Great to be here. Great to be here with you, Chris. Great to be here this morning.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. First of all, I kind of want to just hear a little bit about some of the things that you all are up to. You've now been with Lee County NAACP for a couple years?
This is going on my third year now.
Okay, yeah, time flies.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
What have you all kind of been busy with lately?
Well, lately we've been real busy getting ready for voter registration and trying to get people prepared to vote, you know, in this presidential election. We've been working on that. And we also, I'm working on, in NAACP, we're working on trying to get some programs started for some children this summer to keep them out of these streets and try to make things a little bit better on the NAACP behalf, because, you know, it's always good to fight for civil rights, but we also got to impact the community. And so we're working on that real strong. Got a couple of grants that we have got rewarded that we're going to be doing a feeding program this summer, if all possible, and trying to help get some of this all this stuff off the streets that's going on.
Sure, that's great. Yeah, what are some of the programs that you guys are looking at, or is it too early?
It's a little bit early, but whether it is, the program we're looking at is going to be feeding programs, and we're going to call them in during the summertime and feed them. And also, I'm going to launch it. I'm going to name this program Mentoring Moment. And while we have them there feeding them, we're going to mentor them and let them know that they can be successful in life, and instead of just walking the streets and just doing nothing, that they need to get a book in their hands and read a book and try to gain some knowledge and try to get this society back to where it used to be.
Sure, that'd be great. What What kind of age group are y'all looking at for that?
We're looking at the age group starting around from 5 till about 15. From about 5 to 15 is going to be about, you know, the most. Because you got nowadays, believe it or not, you got children that's 5 and 6 years old that's running around in the street. So we can grab them and feed them, just give them a little something. I think it'll be tremendous.
That's good. That'll be summer?
This summer. Yeah, we're going to try to do it this summer. First time we ever did this. So we're going to try to launch this summer. Nothing happens.
Good. People are interested, can just contact you?
Yes, sir. People can contact me. We're going to be getting some flyers out and doing some other things. Probably be doing some more announcement, even through y'all, be doing some Daily Journal ads. It's going to be, we just getting off the ground, and we're going to be getting more details out right before school gets out.
Sure. Also, you talked, we talked at the beginning about you being chairman of the Community Outreach Task Force.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about that and kind of how that all came to be.
Well, what happened was I was sitting at home, Chris, and I was looking at the Ferguson incident on television one night, and it came to my mind. I said, the word what if this happened here in our community, here in the great all-American city, which it can favorably happen. And I said, well, we need something in place to prevent all the riot that was going on there to try to keep unity in the community. And so immediately that morning, I got up and I called Mayor Shelton and asked him, could I have a meeting with him and speak with him on something? And he granted the meeting. And I told him, I said, well, this has just been on my mind. I said that, I was looking at television last night. I said, Mayor, we need to put something in place in case something of this nature goes on here in your city, that we can have all different types of representatives from all communities to be able to keep this chaos under control. And he thought it was a phenomenal idea, and he called a couple of meetings. We put our heads together, and as a matter of fact, Mayor Shelton did not elect me, appoint me as the chairman. He turned it over to us and started a task force, and the task force team is the one who made me chairman of this.
Sure.
Yeah, the mayor didn't appoint me as chairman, but he did organize the task force, and they made the choice of making me the chairman.
How big is task force?
The last count is about like 10, about 12 or 13 of us, somewhere.
Okay, sure. Mm-hmm. And what kind of have you guys done? When did it start, and how many times have y'all met?
We've met twice, and what we've done on yesterday, we have funded the Tupelo Black History Program. We donated to that, and how we could donate to that was Mayor Shelton and the City Council. We thank God for the City Councilman and Mayor Shelton to grab a hold of this vision, and I thank them again because they awarded us $30,000. And this has never been done in the city of Tupelo for a task force of that nature. And they awarded us $30,000 to put out a positive impact into this community. And that's exactly what we've done. So yesterday, we actually helped fund the Tupelo High School activity that's going on for Black History Month.
You mentioned that something like that could happen in Tupelo or trying to prevent something like that.
Yes.
How do you think the task force has helped? Is it helping, do you think?
Yes. We haven't got everything off the ground like we really, really want to. Yes, the task force has been a tremendous help right now because it's, matter of fact, it's bringing all at the table. It's bringing all different types of community people together that never have came together. So we're going to be launching some stuff out there this later on that we're going to be bringing community together, some events, and we're going to try to do these events like in just each neighborhood. And we also going to try to do. I was understanding the other day we talked about maybe doing some programs of reading outreach and trying to get community to come together in that nature too. So it's going to be a real great thing. It's going to explode. I believe. I really do.
Good. You think that's kind of the key? You mentioned the events is just bringing people together.
That
kind of gets people to see each other eye to eye a little bit, breaks down barriers.
Break down barriers because, we got to realize, our brother Chris, that we all in this together. You know, when the city of Tupelo get any kind of upright chaos, just like the storm came around, we just can't be together when a storm or something like that comes. We got to be together every day because we got to walk and join hand in hand every day. We all are God's children, and we just got to walk hand in hand daily.
Sure. Tupelo spirit.
Tupelo spirit. Yeah. Yes, right. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
another thing, Chris, that you talked about a second ago was the Tupelo High Black History Program. Yes. You mentioned off air that you were there yesterday.
Yes, I was there. Yes, sir.
Tell me about it. What'd you think? It was the students who were talking this year,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, students got a chance to share their emotion, their feeling on Black history, and that was very good. They did some portraits and things of that nature. But, you know, a lot of those kids over there at the school over there at Tupelo High, they read and study it, but they didn't come through this time. You know, it's a different day and age now. Yeah. And so but it's always good to share our history, you know, but we need to understand as sharing our history that we don't need to go back into that. You know, we don't want to go back. We want to move forward. History was never thought to go backwards, to get anybody angry or upset. It just wanted to let us know as a Black human race where our race of people come from. But we're supposed to make things better, not bitter. And so, you know, I like the idea. I read some history books up on it, you know, and it got started for Dr. Carter Woodruff. He was from Kentucky, and he 1926, he went to school and went to school in Kentucky, and also I read that he went to Harvard University and he found some books about slavery and things of that nature, and it got started from there. So we need to understand he wasn't trying to make things happen for bad. He was just trying to say that we have history here, and so this history needs to be told.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this of course is Black History Month, being February.
Yes.
I mean, kind of what does it mean to you? Is it something? How do you kind of celebrate Black History Month?
Well, it means a lot to me because it is our heritage, it's about where we come from. But I also have positive thoughts of it. You know, I want to make things better than they used to be. I never want to go back with a negative mind and saying, okay, this is what happened here, this is what could happen now. No, we can make things better from history. History is supposed to make things better. We don't go back to the history. But it means a lot to me because, you know, a great inspiration in my life was Dr. Martin Luther King. I like how he handled things. Dr. Martin Luther King was he handled things in a manner that he was for all men, and I love that concept. You know, it was for all men. It didn't matter what color you was or what creed or whatever. He was just for all mankind, and that's what I stand for. You know, with all mankind, and it means a lot to me. Black History Month does mean a whole lot to me, but I also want people to know that it just doesn't mean that I'm going back and thinking about to come. I didn't call it a bunch of chaos. I'm not that type of a guy. I want it to be better.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Sure. I know I can, from knowing you through the years, I know I can definitely vouch that you're always one who's looking to make things better.
Yes.
And I've appreciated, watching your leadership in those ways. Who are some of your heroes in Black History Month and that you may be? Do you think about a little bit more or read up on a little bit more?
Yes, well, as I stated, you know, Dr. Martin Luther King, one of my favorites, and Mayor Edwards, he was a great impact in my life because here in Mississippi, you know, he was a great impact, and also I love some of the things that Sister Rosa Parks, you know, she stood for. You know, I thank God for all of the heroes that was Black African Americans, how they stood firm and to say that, you know, we want to make something happen for our race, you know. But Dr. Martin Luther King would be my favorite, though.
Sure. Anything else that you want to?
Well, I just want to say I thank you, Chris, for having us here this morning to share some of the things that we're trying to do that's positive in Tupelo, Mississippi. And I hope that everyone knows that from an NAACP standpoint, I wanted to say this, you know, about NAACP. You know, a lot of people think, Brother Chris, that NAACP is a Black organization. It's not a Black organization. NAACP was established not only by Black people. It was established by white men, that some people that got together and they wanted to bring get people with civil that didn't have civil rights. To have the civil rights and racial, to keep racial harmony. So I want you to understand out there that anybody can join NAACP. Black, Hispanic, you want to become a member of NAACP, you can, because I want to tell you one thing. We are not going, as long as I'm the president of NAACP, we're not going to promote racial. We're going to promote harmony. And so, but we do stand for discrimination, and we fight against that, but we are not going to promote hatred. That would never be up under my administration. I don't care who joined it, who's supposed to be this. I would not promote hatred as long as I'm the leader.
It's all about moving forward together.
It's all about moving forward together. We do it. We together we stand. And old saying said, "Divided we fall."
Sure. And I know I've heard you say that on several occasions before. So yes. I know it's something that is very important to you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Great. Well, thanks, Chris.
Thank you, Chris.
It's been a pleasure having you here.
Thank you
so much.
Thank you for having me.
Great.
And then to remind y'all about the two sports podcasts we have here, produced by the Daily Journal. We've got Prep Rally, new episode coming today with myself and Gene Phelps, high school sports talk. Check it out on iTunes or your podcast app or at preprally.djournal.com. And tomorrow, Thursday, a new episode of Double Coverage, Ole Miss and MSU sports talk with Parrish Alford and Logan Lowry. You can check that out on iTunes as well. And on your podcast app if you don't have an iPhone. And, of course, at doublecoverage.djournal.com. Okay, let's go down to Jackson. We've got Bobby Harrison on the phone, the Capital Bureau reporter for the Journal. Bobby, how you doing?
All right, Brad, how you doing?
Doing well, sir. Let's talk about the voucher issue, voucher bill.
Moving
the voucher bill, moving through the legislature. Parents would be eligible for up to $5,000 per year in state funds to send their kids to private schools. That's the gist of it, Bobby. And it looks like, not surprisingly, this is kind of a partisan issue. What's the big objection here from people who are opposing this bill? Let's start there.
Well, I mean, just essentially just the objection would be to sending public money to private schools. And Brad, my story today focuses on private schools, but it could be on tutoring for homeschoolers or those types of things too, or even like online classes for homeschoolers. You know, the objection is it'd be taking money away from the public schools that have been underfunded of $1.7 billion since 2008. I guess that would be the main objection. And then also that some people, you know, point to the Constitution, where I think it's Section 208 seems to, you know, in plain language, is the, you know, seems to say you can't give money to schools that aren't free. And obviously that would be private schools.
Yeah. How would they work around that one?
Well, you know, nothing's illegal unless somebody files a lawsuit. So that would, I mean, that, it would have to, you know, that would be a step down the line. I mean, I guess the way that would work is if somebody felt aggrieved enough, if the legislation does become law and somebody felt aggrieved enough, there'd be a lawsuit filed that would probably take years to work its way through the court system.
I'm going to take that bit of philosophy forward in my life. Nothing's illegal unless someone files a lawsuit. Anybody going to file a suit here? We good? Yeah. In today's Daily Journal editorial, of course, we have the Our Opinion editorial that runs every day on the editorial page. Daily Journal's stance is that it's not a good thing, this bill. In fact, we call it dangerous. That's the official Journal stance. And, Bobby, I guess the reason it would be called dangerous is because, again, it's taking kids out of these poor-performing schools. And in a way, I guess people would say that you're kind of abandoning these schools that need help.
Yeah, the people who support this, they argue that, you know, there's kids trapped in poor-performing schools, and they should have an opportunity to get out, and the state should help them. You know, the flip side of the argument is, you know, we as a state should do more to improve those schools and to make them more accountable and more effective for the students who are there. Because I mean, because under this legislation, in the shape it's in now, it hasn't even passed committee yet. So more likely, if it passes, it's going to be changed a great deal. But, it would only affect up to, I think, 1% of the public school enrollment. So, I mean, it's capped at a very low number. So, you know, the flip side is we should do something to help all those students that are in all the schools across the state.
How contentious do you expect this to get? I mean, with the Republican majority, supermajority they have, I guess it's got a pretty decent chance of passing.
Yeah, but I mean, I think there are members from both parties that are concerned about this legislation. And, you know, concerned, you know, we talk about, you know, a lot of the focus in the legislature, frankly, since I've been, you know, started covering the legislature in 96 and even before then, is, you know, on school accountability. To, you know, we have the state legislature and the State Board of Education are constantly working on improving school accountability to you know, to show exactly how the student achievement is going. And, you know, rightfully so. You know, you're talking about, you know, a significant part of state and local dollars going to public schools. But would the private schools agree to that same level of accountability? Or, because a lot of people would argue they should agree to that accountability if they're going to be receiving state funds. I mean, I think that's only logical to think that they would. And and would they agree to, you know, take any students like the public schools have to, you know, students with severe learning problems and severe disabilities that, you know, might take up, you know, their students that because of their disabilities, you know, school districts are spending $25,000-$30,000 to educate because that's, I mean, you know, federal law says that's what they have to do, and probably rightfully so. But would the private schools do that? I mean, there's all sorts of questions like that that I assume are going to come up as this legislation moves through the process.
Well, we'll keep an eye on that. Y'all can read Bobby's story in today's journal or at djournal.com. Bobby, always good to have you. Thank you.
Thank y'all. Bye-bye.
Need to remind y'all to watch the Daily Journal's Capital View webcast each Monday afternoon at djournal.com. Capital Bureau Chief Bobby Harrison provides commentary and analysis on the issues being debated by Mississippi lawmakers. Watch live each Monday afternoon at 2 o'clock or catch the replay later in the day. New episodes will be released as long as the legislature is in session. Time now for today's news memo, and for more on these stories, read the Daily Journal or visit djournal.com. The Tupelo City Council voted that a vacant and deteriorating motel on North Gloucester Street must be torn down within 90 days or the city will do the demolition itself. The property is located near the intersection of North Gloucester Street and McCullough Boulevard. It was a Ramada Inn for many years and was then a travel lodge until its closure in October 2011. It has been vacant since then. Council members and other Tupelo officials now say the building has become a public health hazard and a menace.
A new organization is trying to raise funds to help provide water to Flint, Michigan. Tupelo to Flint was the idea of Marcus McCoy. They will host a concert with a showcase of bands on March 5th at the Summit Center to raise awareness and accept donations. Once the money is raised, Tupelo to Flint will work with American Red Cross to find distribution centers for the water. According to recent water testing data from the state of Michigan, high levels of lead are still being reported in Flint's drinking water.
Neon Pig is expanding its original location in Tupelo. Work began Monday to knock down the wall separating the butcher shop and restaurant from what was formerly frozen yogurt shop Tutti Frutti. Neon Pig co-owner Trish McClooney hopes the work will be completed in 2 or 3 weeks. It should add seating for 20 to 25 more people. Right now, the restaurant can seat 30 comfortably.
The Tupelo School Board will consider making changes to its discipline policies based on feedback from listening sessions hosted during the past few months. The school district amended its zero tolerance policy in October, and that initiated the listening sessions to consider other possible changes. A task force has met 3 times since November. It includes 2 school board members, administrators, students, and community members.
Site work has begun on the shops at Tupelo. Starbucks will join Salsarita's Fresh Cantina to anchor each end of the retail center that will sit in front of Lowe's on North Gloucester. Randall Commercial Group announced late last year that Salsarita's in Tupelo would be its 4th location in North Mississippi, joining locations in Oxford, Starkville, and South Haven.
Of course, we want to remind you about our Entertain Us movie contest going on. Short films by local filmmakers are going head-to-head in the Daily Journal's first Entertain Us movie contest. The submissions are in, and now we need you to determine the winners. Voting will take place daily at djournal.com/entertainus, and there will be 1 head-to-head contest each weekday, and winners will advance in a bracket-style competition. Voting is underway and lasts through March 6th. Watch the videos, choose your favorites, and be entertained. All right, moving on, we've got William Moore joining us now. William, how are you doing today?
Doing pretty good.
Well, good. We're glad to have you here to talk about a dangerous threat to Lee County, Northeast Mississippi, and Tupelo as a whole. Sinkholes! I didn't even mean to do that. I'm a poet, and I didn't even realize it.
There you go.
See what you did there, too.
Yeah. Robbins Field.
Robbins Field, it's a problem they've had for years.
Why have I never seen this? I've never noticed it. 30 years, I've never noticed this.
Well, it's the sinkhole has been there and been popping back up for probably the past 10 years. It's one, there's a 6-foot-tall brick archway up under there. It's a long tunnel. It was built during the 30s.
Okay, I do know about that.
There's a storm drain, and basically there's a crack somewhere in the roof of that drain. And as you get more and more rain, it just sort of washes the soil down through that into that storm drain, and it creates a hole up above. I mean, it's the classic way a sinkhole forms. But, I mean, this is one they come back and they fill it in.
You know,
a year or so later, they have to come back, add some more dirt to it. The fix is where you'd have to go basically dig a massive 20-foot deep hole, 60 feet long, in order to go back and replace that broken section of brick tunnel with concrete culvert.
So at this point, it's just easier to pat to put a Band-Aid over it every few years.
It's much easier to do it that way.
All right. As you said, it's like an 80-year old.
Yeah, I mean, it was done as part of the, you know, back during the Great Depression. Yeah. It was a WPA project. Mm-hmm. We're putting folks back to work, gave them some to do. And, I mean, this is it's a underground tunnel that basically runs from Robbins Field all the way to Main Street.
Kids, I mean, don't go in there.
I'm having this picture in my mind. You know, they used to play football there. The Tupelo High School football team used to play there. I'm just having a picture of the Dark Knight Rises when the football field is blown up and it's collapsing behind the guy as he runs downfield. Yeah, just glad that
there's no explosives. It's just a sinkhole.
Yeah, no explosives. It's just a sinkhole. I mean, and they have caution tape around the area right now until they go back and fix it because, you know, it could pose a danger because it's roughly 20 feet deep.
Yeah, you fall in there.
But it's only you know, like a foot or so wide right at the moment.
Yeah, but.
But if, you know.
Some idiot.
Well, no, if we get more rain, and depending on how much water is in the soil, I mean, it could rain more. And if somebody got close to the edge, they could get kind of sucked down into a hole.
What's their timeline for passing at this point?
They don't really have a timeline. I mean, probably within the next couple of weeks, they'll send crew out there and patch the hole. You know, but the bigger plan, you know, to replace the storm drain is somewhere further down the line because they're going to need basically federal grant money to do it because it's going to be like $1 million project.
I mean, it's ridiculous. And you said in 98, it was estimated to be about $750,000. Imagine. Flight prices have gone up. Construction prices
have
gone up for
that. And also, in order to fully replace it, they would have to go up, I mean, all the way from Robbins Field to where it terminates at, you know, close to Crosstown, which you're going under a lot of established neighborhoods.
Houses.
Yes.
This just got interesting.
And so that's why they're not really pushing forward because it's going to cost a lot of money and trying to figure out how to do it where you could dig up under without disturbing houses and it could get real expensive.
Is there still access to this?
Well, I mean, it's a storm drain. I mean, if you want
so
to.
It's still a functioning storm drain.
It's still a very functioning storm drain.
That's what I figured. So you can't just go fill in the whole.
No, I mean, like when you see section. The water running off the streets and going through the drains on the side of the streets,
right.
It flows through there.
Okay.
Well, you know, and gets to either Kings Creek or Sand Creek 1. Flows downhill.
Children, don't climb down there, please. I think that's the important lesson.
Stay out of the big hole in the field.
Yeah, and don't go near the caution tape.
Good general rule.
Although caution tape never kept most idiots away from anything, in my experience.
Is that the way you feel, Brad?
What?
Yeah. That's the one I'm talking about over there.
What?
What? Mm. William, thanks for joining us today.
Glad to.
My favorite part of every Wednesday is talking to Jenna Parsons. Jenna, how are you doing today?
I'm good. I think I have the giggles.
Oh. Well, this should be fun then. It is Wednesday. That means the food section is out, and you've got several stories going on today. Let's talk about your column first, tilapia.
Tilapia.
What did you do with it?
Fish.
I assume you ate it, but what did you do beforehand?
We did. We
probably cooked it.
Well, we did cook
how,
it before.
Brad? I want to know how.
I'm not a sushi person, so.
Oh.
Yes, we
that
coated
hurts my
it
heart.
With Parmesan cheese and paprika and parsley and a little salt and pepper and baked it. And it was just wonderful. And as I say, there are so many people who say, I don't like fish. But tilapia is so mild. It's like tofu. It takes on the flavors of whatever you put with it. In fact, Lloyd Gray, our former editor, his wife Sally, one of her go-to meals would be to go home, put the tilapia on a pan, put some salsa over it, and bake it. And her kids would eat it every time. I mean, it's just such a versatile fish, and it's not very expensive. So it's, you know, you can get a couple of fillets for $4. So it's worth giving it a try.
Let's discuss your problems with sushi now, because that is my. I will come at you. If there was one thing I could live off of for the rest of my life, it would be sushi.
Well, I know that sushi doesn't just mean raw fish.
Yes.
So, number one, I ain't doing raw fish. But even if it's the kind that's got like avocado and cooked things in it or cooked fish or non-fishy things, I don't like that nori or whatever that seaweed stuff is. I don't like that flavor. Mm.
hurting my heart, Jennifer.
I'm sorry.
Cavemen figured out the fire thing a long time ago, so that's why we cook stuff.
I was at Mount Fuji last week doing an interview with someone, woman and her husband and the four children. I was actually interviewing the woman or attempting to, but there was a one-year-old in the high chair, so it was kind of dicey.
I understand.
But all of them ordered sushi, and it was so gorgeous when it came. I mean, it was works of art. One of them got something called a red dragon, and it looked like a dragon, and she had an avocado salad that was... The avocado was just sliced paper thin and lined on. It was beautiful.
Having
and
sushi
I love
lunch.
Avocado, but I wish I could like it. And maybe I should take my own lesson and maybe I should try it again.
I'll introduce you to some cooked rolls.
Can you do it without that seaweed stuff?
Mount Fuji uses soy paper instead of seaweed. I don't like it now. If I go to Mount Fuji, I specifically ask them to wrap it in seaweed and not the soy paper. But you might like that better.
Well, I don't guess I've tried that.
Yeah.
So.
That's what they usually do that is in there. But Kyoto, and we used to go to Shogun that was...
Oh, yeah. Now it's... The Now South place.
They got theirs brought in fresh every morning from Memphis. Everything they had was fresh every single morning.
Oh, wow.
And it was, you paid for it, but it was an amazing meal.
I think you pay for it at Mount Fuji, too.
You do, but you really paid for it, Shogun, which may be why they're not there anymore. library fundraiser coming up featuring area chefs. Gulf Seafood. Tell us about A Novel Affair.
Well... Julianne Goodwin, whom I interviewed, didn't want to give too much of the menu away because they wanted people to sort of be surprised. But she said that largely the protein is going to be fish or seafood, and the event's on a Friday. So for those who do fish on Fridays, this fits in with them. I'm sure there will be something else for those who don't eat fish or shellfish or seafood, but it's Ty Timms and David Cruz.
Mm-hmm.
And the catering kitchen will be using their recipes to make the dishes that they will serve there. And then the chefs will actually be in and about the room doing cooking demonstrations and doing some audience participation type things. This is the second year the library's done this. Last year, very successful. $20,000 for the library, which pays for speakers and books and other resources.
Lights,
yeah,
utilities,
whatever the library
needs. Anything a nonprofit needs to go to. This is coming up March 4th, though not at the library. We'll be at the Bancorp South Conference Center. Tickets are $50 each and have to be purchased, though, at the Lee County Library.
With cash or check. They do not take credit cards.
Cash or check only. Paper trail at all costs.
And you can still get tables. I mean, you could get a group of 10 friends or your bunco group or your bridge club or whatever to go. But
you play
individual.
Bunco, Jenna?
I do not play bunco, and I don't play bridge, and I'm sorry that I never learned. My mom and dad both played, but they are of that generation.
What is bunco, a card game? I've never seen bunco.
Bunco played. Is a card game.
Okay. I didn't know. Whenever I hear people talking about getting together playing bunco, I assume that that's code for... We're talking about all of you behind your backs or something.
No, but I think bunco is largely a ladies type thing. But bridge, you know, men
play bridge.
And you play bridge?
Mm-hmm.
Well, here's
a
segue for you. The cook of the week that's featured this week.
Bridge player.
Also plays bridge.
And a familiar face to me.
And tell us why.
That is my great aunt, Linda Hankins.
So you
talked to her. What did she prepare for you?
She made a coconut cream pie, and we did not eat any. We had just had lunch, as I recall. But she only made one, but she said that's atypical, that usually she makes two, because there's always one to give away to someone.
So what was kind of her background for cooking?
She's one of six children, but she did not learn to cook in the kitchen with her mom, because her mom had all these mouths to feed, and she was concentrating on making the food, so... Linda Hankins said that after she got married, she would start to attempt to make something, and then she would call her mom, her mother, and say, how do you do this? And so she learned to cook on the telephone.
That's a great way to learn.
Yes.
From somebody with experience.
But I love, and I led with her Elvis story. She and her cousin picked cotton to earn enough money to get tickets to go see Elvis's first performance at the fairgrounds here in 56, the afternoon performance. Mm-hmm. And the tickets were 50 cents. And they earned enough money to each buy a ticket and to each buy a pair of white majorette boots, which I guess were all the rage. And they caught a ride into town that morning at 6, and they walked all over the fairgrounds, and they watched Elvis perform that afternoon. And they didn't have tickets for the evening performance, so they peeked through the fence to see him perform. And they didn't get home until after 10 that night, and they had their feet were just covered in blisters from those majorette boots that they insisted on wearing, and they had to get up the next morning and go pick cotton again. They did it for Elvis. She and her cousin were charter members of the Tupelo Elvis fan club.
All right. Good stories today, Jenna. Thanks for joining us.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Need to remind y'all about Thrive Marketing, a full-service digital marketing company located in Tupelo, providing websites, search engine optimization, social media management, email, and text messaging services for local businesses online at thrive.ms. That's it for today, everybody.
I use Thrive.
Hey, there you go. What are you doing? Kind of zoned out for a second there, didn't you, buddy?
Putting my mail in an envelope.
Okay. Good deal.
Worried about you and your middle child syndrome. Been thinking a lot about it during today's episode.
Well, that's why they have meds.
That they do, Bradley.
Yeah, well.
That they do.
No, it's all good.
Are you on any of them?
Can't tell you that. HIPAA.
I think that's for professionals.
Yeah, whatever. I'm a professional
journalist. No.
I'm a professional podcaster. Mm-hmm. You're not going to be here tomorrow, are you?
I will not.
Just be me and Podgator.
I will be at the Tupelo High School tomorrow, warping the minds of young journalism students. Lordy.
What are you going to be doing over there?
Well, I'm bringing a visual aid, Bradley.
You didn't bring me as your visual aid?
No. This is what not to be. See that facial hair? Don't do it, kids. You'll never be taken seriously as a journalist.
What are you saying?
So, I think I blatantly said it.
Okay.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm fine. I've
accepted? Acceptance is key.
It's not so much acceptance as it is I just don't care anymore.
Resignation? Apathy?
Apathy. That's the, nihilism.
Oh, nihilism.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I just don't care.
The mustache is going to still be here every day.
Yeah.
Just deal with it. So.
The best that we can to the best of our abilities. So
just me and Podgator tomorrow.
That's not to say if I don't come up with a really good line, I'm not going to use it.
Oh, I'm sure you will.
Yeah, I just want to make that known and clear.
May just be me and Podgator next week, too, if you're going to keep that up.
Your face looks like Robin Williams' knuckles.
Podgator wants to say hi to everybody. Yeah, people can't hear that. Put him on the mic. Come on. There we go. That's Podgator. He's our mascot. He's a...
Where did this come from?
I don't know. It was in here when we moved in.
He's been here longer than we have.
Yeah. So...
He's seen everybody at the Journal.
Probably has. So
a year on this thing. Made in China.
Made in China. What a surprise.
He swam a long way. Boy, is his tail tired.
He swam through a lot of sewer pipes to get here.
He's the sinkhole. It's his fault. He came right through that storm drain. All right. Don't forget to check us out online, memo.djournal.com. Also on Twitter, @djournalmemo. You can email us, memo@journalinc.com. Also, all the news you read about today, you can find online at djournal.com or in your issue of the Daily Journal.
And we're on Twitter, the newspaper, that is, @djournalnow. I'm on Twitter, @BradLocke.
E.
You're on Twitter.
@WDerekRussell.
Chris Kiefer's on Twitter, @ChrisKiefer.
Spell it phonetically with a Q and an L and a 7.
Don't forget the silent B.
Trips them up every time.
There's also the symbol for boron in there somewhere, too, I think. Bradley will be back with you tomorrow. I will see you guys again on Monday.
Have a good one.